Now, last time when we were in Matthew 6, we looked at this prayer, this pattern of prayer that the Lord Jesus Christ gave. And in the midst of it, in verse 12, he said, "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." He taught us to pray this: "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." And then in verse 14 and 15, he says something else concerning this. And he says in verse 14, "For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Now, we're going to get into this in just a moment, but let me ask you a couple of questions here before we get into it. What is a debtor? What is it to be a debtor? To be a debtor is to be unable to pay your debts, is to be unable to make payment that's owed. What is it to be to trespass? What is it to trespass? You see a sign that says "no trespassing." And the moment you step beyond that "no trespassing" sign, you've trespassed against the owner of that property. Well, every person born of Adam is a trespasser and a debtor to God. God told Adam not to eat of one tree in the garden. And that was God's no trespassing sign, that one tree. And when Adam took of that fruit, he trespassed against God. And he became a debtor. He owed God payment for sin, and that payment's death. He owed God righteous obedience. He couldn't pay it. He owed God holiness of character. He lost it. He couldn't pay that. And none of which Adam could pay. None of those things could he pay and be restored to God. Adam needed a redeemer. When we see redeemer in Scripture, it has to do with being a debtor. It's somebody that pays the ransom, somebody that pays the price that we can't pay to purchase us out from under our debt, put us in good standing with God. Every person that was born of Adam then were born dead in trespasses and sins because we trespassed against God in Adam, sinned against God in Adam, died in Adam, came forth sons of Adam, spiritually dead trespassers, sinners against God. And we needed a redeemer to pay our debts and make it so that God would no longer remember our trespasses against us. Now, when God brings a sinner to behold that he has trespassed against God, that he is a debtor with no way of making payment, that's a very dire strait to be in. That's a very painful place to be. But that's where we have to be brought to see how badly we need the Redeemer, to see how badly we need a Savior, to see how badly we need someone to pay all the debt we owe. And when he brings a person to faith in Christ, to cast all their care on Christ, God says some sweet, sweet words in our hearts. Forgiven. You're forgiven. You have forgiveness with God. Now, when our Lord says here that if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you, he's not saying that our forgiveness of others earns our forgiveness with God. The free grace of God, free, unmerited grace of God, is the cause of God's forgiveness towards those that he has everlastingly loved. He forgave the debts of his elect when they were put into Christ in eternity. That is, He forgave the debts before they were ever incurred by His people in His purpose of grace. That's what Ephesians 1 teaches us, brethren. According as He has chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. And He predestinated us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in Christ the Beloved. Then He forgave the debts of all whom Christ represented when Christ, with His own blood, washed them away at Calvary. In Hebrews 9:12 it says, not by the blood of bulls and goats. That's what those bulls and goats typified, foreshadowed, but by His own blood He entered in once into the holy place, into God's presence, having obtained eternal redemption for us. And then He brings each of His redeemed into the realization of this forgiveness through the work of the Holy Spirit, through the gift of faith. And He speaks that promise into our hearts. And He says, your sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now that's how our sins are forgiven. And we come to God's throne of grace daily, confessing that we're sinners, confessing that we've trespassed against God, and He's faithful and just to forgive us our debts continually because of the blood of Christ. So what does the Lord mean here when He says, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Well, the Lord has been talking all along here in this text about the inner workings of the Spirit of grace. That's what we've been looking into. And what our Lord is teaching us here is that communion with God is enjoyed by those who have been given a new nature, a new heart. A sinner that has been forgiven by the grace of God is continually kept by God to remember what great mercy God has shown us. And that's the way that God makes a merciful believer, is by the great mercy He's shown to us. The new man within is merciful. Happy is the merciful, for he shall find mercy. It's what a believer is inside, where the Spirit of grace is at work, in the heart, in the new man, in the new creation. There's going to be a spirit of forgiveness there, because it's the fruit of the Spirit, long-suffering, kindness, gentleness, meekness, forbearance. There's going to be brotherly love there. And our Lord's been teaching that God's grace is free, that it's without respect of persons. Look back there at Matthew 5:44. He said, I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For He maketh His sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. His grace is particular, saving, effectual grace. But it's not based on a person's merit, on the respect of a person, on a person's stature, on anything about the person. It's free grace. And He shows us here by this example of Him making the sun to rise on the evil and the good, that this particular saving grace of His it's free. It's not based on persons. So He tells us here the same thing that James said. When James said, if you have respect to persons, you commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. And every believer knows that we trespass against holy God continually. And yet He forgives us for Christ's sake. And his love for us constrains us to forgive those who trespass against us. His love, his mercy constrains us to forgive those who trespass against us. Because we sin daily, because we trespass against God daily, and he delivers us daily, he teaches us to speak and to do as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy, that hath showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. If I go through my life and I'm just a strict judge and I don't overlook the fact, if somebody sins against me and I want an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, God says, you don't have a heart that knows anything about mercy. You haven't had a heart made new to know the mercy and grace of God. Mercy rejoices to be merciful, rejoices against that strict judgment of taking someone to the law. Let's look at an example that Peter gave. Look at Matthew 18. The Lord gave to Peter. Matthew 18, verse 21. Then came Peter to the Lord Jesus Christ and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Are you there? It's Matthew 18, verse 21. How often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. That means all the time. Continual forgiveness. Therefore, listen to this now. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought to him which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out, and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him, and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. You get the picture here? This servant fell on his knees, and asked to be forgiven, and his Lord forgave him. Then that servant goes out and finds somebody that owes him and takes him by the throat and says, pay me what you owe me. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I'll pay thee all. But he would not, but he went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desiredest me. Shouldest not thou also have compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. Now the Lord Jesus says, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Now, a quick word on that. It's not that our Father, the Lord Jesus, the God the Father, will ever cast out any of those for whom Christ died. Christ washed them. They're purged. They're his eternally. But our God, our Father, will chasten his people. He will correct his people. He will bring us to behold what great mercy he's had on us. But be sure to remember that the Lord Jesus is teaching us here that this is a heart matter. That's what he's talking about. He started out talking about how sin is a matter of the heart. And then he comes through and he's telling us how grace is a matter of the heart. And he's telling us that in our service to God, he said our God is secret. He's secret. He's spirit. He seeth in secret. He sees the heart. He sees the hidden man of the heart. Did you catch that phrase at the end of the Lord's words there? He said, any man that doesn't forgive from the heart, from the heart. Anger's in the heart. Grace works in the heart. The Lord's teaching us about communion with God from the hidden man of the heart, from the new creation. Forgiveness is not in words only. It's not in words only. It is in words, but it's not in words only. It's forgiveness from the hidden man of the heart, because that's where the work of grace is, in the heart. In the heart. So I want to end now with Colossians 3. Colossians 3. And you can hold your places in Colossians, because we'll be back there for our message this morning. But Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Paul speaks of this heart as well. Watch this. Colossians 3:12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, as those that have been chosen by God, holy, made holy in Christ Jesus, beloved of the Lord, put on bowels of mercies. The working of mercy inside. Bowels of mercies. Kindness. Humbleness of mind. Meekness. Long-suffering. Forbearing one another. And forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. That's what our Lord's teaching us. This thing is a heart matter. Somebody said, you can't come to the Lord expecting to gather fruits, pleasant fruits from the Lord, when we're dealing in thorns and thistles with our brethren. Be pure heart, a pure heart. Approach unto God with a pure heart. He said, if you come to the altar, you realize that your adversary has aught against you, go be reconciled to him. Then come to the altar. All right, let's close in.